Good morning. You're listening to the morning worship service for Sunday the 30th of August from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. The service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our worship on this Sunday morning. May our lives and our world be reawakened as together we come alive to the wonder and surprise of this day. Let us celebrate the richness and diversity of life in the presence of God. Our opening hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, our Creator, you are alive in the singing of birds flying south, in the leaves gently stirring in the breeze, in the stars that dance at night. Jesus, brother to the poor, you are in our midst, in the lap of a grandmother, in the cries of a newborn, in the stillness of dawn. Spirit of God, you make all our places holy. The classrooms where we fidget, the pavements where we meet our neighbours, the grass in our back gardens. God in community, Holy One, make us aware of your presence in every moment. If God is in every person we meet, what does that say about the harmful words we speak, the hurt we cause to others in our lives? We are invited to bring our faults and foolishness, our brokenness and bitterness to our God, confessing such lives so we might be made new. You know us, watching God. You know who we are, people who find it easier to hold on to all we do that is wrong rather than cling to goodness. You know what we do when we ignore the poor or refuse to live at peace with others. You know why we do all these things, for we continue to set our minds on all those temptations which insinuate themselves into our lives. You do indeed know us all too well, steadfast love. Yet you continue to be patient with us and forgiving towards us. Yet you would embrace us as we turn towards you in repentance rather than washing your hands of us. Yet you would continue to call us to follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, so we might find our life with you. In our love for others, we discover God's love for us. In our forgiving of others, we learn once more how deeply God has forgiven us. Friends, this is the good news offered to us. We are God's children, called to be different, called to act different, called to live as new people. Thanks be to God, we are forgiven. Amen. And we join together in the prayer that Jesus gave us in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Today I'd like to talk to you about an item of clothing that everybody owns and that only ever comes in a pair. Can you think what that might be? So here's the puzzle. Something that everybody owns, an item of clothing everybody owns that only comes in a pair. I'll give you a couple of seconds to think about it. Well, if you'd said pyjamas, that would have been a good answer, but it's not the answer that I'm looking for. The answer I'm looking for is, yes, you've got it, shoes. Now, my old history teacher told me that you should always start a speech with a joke. So here goes, a joke about shoes. What type of shoes does Captain Hook always avoid wearing? Crocs. Okay, that was a bit rubbish, wasn't it? How about this one? I don't think you should buy shoes with Velcro because they're a rip-off. Yes, thank goodness someone gave me a job as an accountant, because I would never have made it as a comedian, would I? Anyway, back to the serious stuff. Why do we wear shoes? Well, I think the obvious reason is we wear them to protect our feet. Imagine walking to the shops in your bare feet. You might tread on stones or on some glass. You could tread on all sorts of things, and by the time you got home, you would probably need some first aid. Having said that, when I was young, there was an amazing woman athlete called Zola Budd, who ran long distance races. She grew up in South Africa running barefoot, and so that's what she was used to. While the other athletes were all wearing the latest high-tech running shoes, Zola stuck to what God had given her and ran in her bare feet, even in the Olympic Games. I think the second reason why we wear shoes is basically to look nice. And so we have different footwear for different occasions, don't we? Think of the various types of shoe that you can buy. There are sandals and trainers, sliders, high heels, court shoes, UGG boots, flip-flops. I'm sure you could name loads more. Some people love to wear one particular favourite pair of shoes and they wear those shoes all the time. Other people enjoy switching between pairs and they might have 10 or even 20 pairs of shoes and boots and other types of footwear in their wardrobe. One thing that people sometimes do is take their shoes off when they arrive at someone's house. Is that a habit that you have? Or might you ask the person who lives there whether you should take them off? And if they say yes, you'd leave them by the door, wouldn't you, ready to put on again when you go home? Why do we take our shoes off at the door of somebody else's house? Well, it might be to avoid treading mud into their carpet. That would be a bad thing to do, wouldn't it? And so a good thing to avoid. Or it might be to show a kind of general respect for the people who own the house. In today's Old Testament reading, we're going to hear about Moses going and speaking to God. But before he does that, God tells him to take off his sandals because Moses is standing on holy ground. Basically, God is asking Moses to show the appropriate amount of respect. I think this is a good lesson for all of us. We often learn in church, don't we, that God loves us. And God wants to be our friend. And that's absolutely true. But we also have to remember that God is the maker of the earth and sky, the most powerful force in the universe. So when we talk to God in prayer, or when we walk into a church, we might not need to take our shoes off. But let's always remember to behave with the respect that God deserves because of all that he has done for us.
Our second hymn. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord our God is with you.
I am not dismayed. A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. God calls Moses. One day, while Moses was taking care of the sheep and goats of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, he led the flock across the desert and came to Sinai, the holy mountain. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a flame coming from the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but that it was not burning up. "This is strange," he thought. "Why isn't the bush burning up? I will go closer and see." When the Lord saw that Moses was coming closer, he called to him from the middle of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." He answered, "Yes, here I am." God said, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So Moses covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have seen how cruelly my people are treated in Egypt. I have heard them cry out to be rescued from their slave drivers. I know all about their sufferings, and so I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of Egypt to a spacious land, one which is rich and fertile, and in which the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites now live. I have indeed heard the cry of my people, and I see how the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now I am sending you to the king of Egypt so that you can lead my people out of his country." But Moses said to God, "I am nobody. How can I go to the king and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you, and when you bring the people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain. That will be the proof that I have sent you." But Moses replied, "When I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'What is his name?' So what can I tell them?" God said, "I am who I am. This is what you must say to them. The one who is called I Am has sent me to you. Tell the Israelites that I, the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, have sent you to them. This is my name forever. This is what all future generations are to call me." Thanks be to God for the reading of his holy word.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Amen.
A number of years ago, the President of the United States was walking through an airport when he came across an old man with a long beard, a long robe, and who was carrying two stone tablets. The President ran up to him and asked, "Are you Moses?" The man just walked on. George W. chased after him and asked again, "Wait, wait, are you Moses?" And once again the man walked on. The President tried again. He followed him and said, "Well, if you are Moses, you certainly aren't very friendly." Moses turned to George W. and said, "Well, the last time I talked to a bush, I spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness." Today's passage from the book of Exodus recounts, as well as words on paper can, the encounter between the Egyptian-raised Hebrew slave Moses and the God of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca and Jacob and Rachel. And yes, the joke is at least partially right. Before the encounter with the bush, Moses faced the rest of his life as a shepherd, while after this encounter, he spent the rest of his life leading people on a journey through the wilderness. The last time we heard about Moses, he was floating in the Nile in a little basket. He was rescued from the crocodiles by the Pharaoh's daughter and raised in his own home until he was weaned. Since that time, he was, presumably, given the best education possible and groomed for a job in the Egyptian equivalent of the civil service. One day, though, he came across an Egyptian beating a Hebrew and essentially had to decide in a split second if he was to identify with the oppressor or the oppressed. He chose the latter. He killed the Egyptian. Feeling guilty and knowing the consequences if he were to be caught, he hid the body in the sand. He was found out, and Moses fled into exile, into the wilderness. Barely there, he sat down by a well and defended a group of sisters who were being harassed by some shepherds. He married one of them and began work as a shepherd for his new father-in-law. We are told that his father-in-law is the priest of Midian, but we don't know for certain of which religion he was a priest. While this is before the giving of the Ten Commandments, it seems that an awareness of the living God was part of his family's life. In addition, being in the wilderness would have given Moses ample opportunity to commune with the holy. On those long, hard days, and those even longer nights, he would have had ample time to reflect on what was really important in his life, and how the circumstances of his birth, combined with his choices, had landed him in this place. So, it is this Moses, the Moses with a past and living on the run, who was called to free his people from oppression. It is the God of his ancestors he encounters in the wilderness this day. I expect that he knew right from the beginning that this was going to be no stroll in the park. He objected, and God met every objection. In the end, he does go and he does lead the people to the promised land. But as they say, that's another story. Our question today is, what does this portion of the story, this call of Moses, tell us about our faith and our response to God's call to us? So what is this Exodus thing that is looming on the horizon? We need to know that the Exodus is one of the most important events in the life and self-understanding of the Hebrew people, perhaps the most important event. Much of the biblical story up to this point can be seen as a preface to the Exodus and answers the questions, who are these Hebrews and how did they get to Egypt in the first place? We are at the point where we're not just setting up the events for the real story to begin. This is the real story. It is in these events that this God shows the people what kind of relationship is being offered and expected. It is here at this burning bush that this unique God of Abraham and Sarah and their descendants is revealed to Moses. It is through this direct encounter with God that Moses receives his call and the knowledge of who this God is, and that this God will be with him in the years to come. It is through this encounter that he realizes that God has not been deaf, and that he has been listening, and that the people are cared for. What about this encounter? This experience? What is it all about? As we know, the story begins with Moses herding his sheep and minding his own business. He sees a bush which is on fire. Unlike other brush fires, though, this bush is not reduced to ash. While it is clearly burning, it is not consumed. Moses' response, after drawing closer out of curiosity, is to follow the command to take off his shoes. Taking off one's shoes was in that culture, and still is in many cultures, a sign that one knows one is in the presence of the holy. This is a holy moment, a sacred encounter. The name of this God is most interesting. The name translated simply means, I am. This God is not just some rain god, some desert god, some Egyptian god, some god of the past, but the God of the revered ancestors, the God who is creator, the God who is the very essence of being itself. Of course, this is not a name like the other gods had names, because this God refused to be confined by a name or limited to one name. This God cannot be known or commanded or controlled, because that is the power knowing someone's name gives to those who have that knowledge. This God is not confined by any one set of ideas or spirituality. In a culture where all sorts of gods were worshipped and gods were more or less confined to one task or one place, this God demanded no more or no less than total commitment. This God's own self-definition was being itself. Furthermore, the people will have to learn over and over again that this God will not be confined to any one place or event. Through this awesome and holy encounter, Moses learns, and we learn, that this is God not limited to burning bushes, to slave pens, to the wilderness, or even to the land of promise. This God is autonomous and decides where and when to act and be. Yet, this God is not unaware or uncaring. On this day, we learn that this God's power is and will be channeled for the good of the people he has called. We are told quite clearly that this God has heard the cries of the oppressed people, and this God has decided to act. However, there is no glitzy supernatural action planned, which would absolve the people of responsibility. This God has decided to act through the words and actions of Moses, shepherd of Midian, the one who stands here babbling and stuttering. We can sense that he was chosen because of his unique life experience, that this is just the kind of person God needs at this time and place. What he lacked in skill would be made up by God's grace and power. God's intention would be fulfilled, which was that the children of Israel would be led to freedom, and that Moses would be God's messenger. It was a tough job that he was taking on. There's a story that's been around for about 100 years, that when Sir Ernest Shackleton wanted to hire men for an Arctic expedition, he placed an ad in the London newspapers. Men wanted for hazardous journey. Low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness. Safe return doubtful, honour and recognition in event of success. It turns out that nobody can find evidence that the ad ever existed, but I've always thought of it as analogous to a Christian's job description. Hazardous, low wages, uncomfortable, long hours, darkness, no safety. Imagine if you picked up our church magazine or went to our website and our invitation to church said, "People wanted for lifelong commitment with no immediate reward. Must be willing to be patient in suffering and persevere in prayer. To do this job, applicants must contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. The successful applicant will be prepared to bless those who persecute you, weep with those who weep, associate with the lowly, love enemies, and never avenge any wrong. No haughty, stingy, or whiny people need apply." Or, as Jesus summed it up, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Somehow, I don't think we'd get many applicants. Truth be told, most of us don't live up to that job description. I know that on any given day, I can't tick all the boxes. Fortunately, we don't have to apply for this job of being a Christian. And even if we did, we don't have to have any particular education, experience, or personal traits for the job. This demanding list in Romans chapter 12 is not a job description which you must perform so that God will love you. It is a set of ethical expectations that we are called to live out because God loves us. Because we have been so deeply loved by God in Christ, we can take up our crosses and follow. When we go down that path, we learn by doing how to love one another and to hold fast to what is good, not dwelling on the negative, but actually competing with each other in the kindness Olympics. Because we have been the recipients of such grace, we can serve with patience in times of suffering, with joy in others' happiness. Because we are assured of God's unfailing faithfulness, we are able to persevere in prayer. And because God's generosity to us is without end, we are glad to contribute to the needs of the saints. We look forward to extending hospitality to strangers. We've been so blessed that we can even bless those who persecute us. We can rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Because of Christ, we are one body, of which he is the head, so we are able to live in harmony with one another, not haughty, not claiming to be wiser than we are. We choose not to repay anyone evil for evil, but think about what is good for all. So far as it depends on us, we can live peaceably with others. If our enemies are hungry, we do not gloat, we feed them. If our opponents are thirsty, we do not mock, we give them a drink. Living this way, in response to God's love, we can take on all of the work of the Christian life, making the choice every day, minute by minute, that we will not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Whatever other work we might do, whether for pay or as a volunteer, this is our real job description. The benefits are amazing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Also, we get to spend time with interesting, wonderful people, and there's free food involved. Not just over refreshments, but at the table, where we are nourished and sustained with the spiritual food that offers us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet and sends us out into the world to nourish and sustain others. Moses was confronted with a wondrous sight, and he covered his face, took off his shoes, and protested, "Not me." Yet God responded to his "not me" with a "why not you?" We encounter the holy, and we wonder if we are up to the task. You hold your newborn child in your hands and wonder if you are up to the task. You look into the eyes of a friend in need and wonder if you are up to the task. We might look at a sunrise and wonder what the day has in store for us, and we wonder if we are up to the task. Such are only a few of the encounters with God and the holy. Yet we can learn from Moses' encounter that we are called to recognize God's call in the holy. We are all assured that God has heard the cries of those in need and might very well be calling us to lead a people from captivity to freedom, called to show someone else that God loves them, called to teach a child, nurture faith in someone, keep a heart from breaking, help them pick up the pieces when it has, called to be the hands and feet of Christ in a hurting and needy world. When we encounter the holy, we don't always get what we expect. In fact, we usually don't get what we expect, but we are assured that God will be with us no matter what happens, and that God's grace will supply all our needs. What is your encounter with the holy saying to you and asking you to do? Let me finish with a part of a poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees take off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries. Thanks be to God. Our third hymn. Father, hear the prayer we offer.
Now, our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray today for situations around the world where natural forces are bringing destruction to homes and communities. In California, with wildfires causing devastation of wide areas and widespread air pollution over heavily populated areas. in Pakistan and Afghanistan, where the monsoon this week has been the worst since records began, and over 100 lives have been lost in each country. In Louisiana, Texas, Haiti, and the Dominican Republic, where Hurricane Laura has created havoc and caused around 50 deaths. We pray for those involved in tackling these demanding situations that they may deliver your consolation and strength to the communities in which they're working. We pray that those in authority will make decisions about the allocations of resources, of money, knowledge, equipment and people based on collaboration and cooperation, reaching those in great peril and need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for people who are facing life-changing decisions about whether to take to the streets to demonstrate for political change in their countries, recognizing the bravery of those who risk speaking out. We pray for the people of Belarus who continue to challenge the results of their recent election and who have taken to the streets risking their lives and freedom. We pray for the people of Hong Kong who continue to struggle against the increasing restrictions being placed on their society and who risk their lives and livelihoods when they demonstrate in the streets. We pray for those who demonstrate in support of the Black Lives Matter campaign, sparked by the brutality of US police forces, but causing us to recognise the injustices that are perpetrated in Britain too. Lord, protect individuals who have real grievances. We pray for them and us to make wise and brave choices. As Martin Luther King said, a man dies when he refuses to take a stand for that which is true. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for those who are dealing with change in their lives. Those who have been shielding are having to make the adjustment to going out and about and getting back to a new normal. Our children are restarting school, and for all it will be a big readjustment, having had no school routine since March the 20th. We pray for children and young people as they start back at school and college this week. May they soon adjust to the new normal of travelling to school, social distancing at times in school, meeting people with diverse attitudes to the risks involved in being together, picking up the threads of lessons, break times, lunches and homework. We pray in particular for those starting new schools or colleges, and for students who are having to appeal exam results and who face uncertainty about their future plans. We pray for the adults who work in schools that they may find positive ways to create a safe learning environment while meeting their own needs for safe working. We pray for the families who now have to adjust to their children going back to school and the anxieties which that may produce. May families soon grow in confidence in the measures being taken to keep children safe. Lord, give wisdom and resilience to those in authority, including school leaders, local council leaders, and our government. Grant that they may make choices which benefit us all and that they may communicate clear and accurate information to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant peace and comfort to those in the situations we have named, and people known personally to us who are facing difficulties. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Our closing hymn. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry.
The Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people.
loving Father, every morning that comes was created by you. Every hour that passes we give to you. Every meal we share we receive from you. Every person we meet is loved by you. Every joy we experience is found in you. Every tear we shed is precious to you. Every night that falls is watched by you. Send us, your people, to your world in need and in plenty. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and all whom we love, this day and always. Amen.
Take your shoes off, Moses.